خب سخنران امشب جلسه تهران ای که جلسه رسمی ثبت شده دفتر خدمات جهانی و زیر نظر نهای 15 الکلی گمنام در تهران است. آقای مایک با مقطع 35 سال از آمریکا می باشد. رایان آقا بفرم.
چشم بسه بدیم. Hi Mark, this is Ryan here from England. I suppose to translate your share tonight. And yeah, we've got a 45 minute together. We have to just be realistic to splitting the time. Give me a time to just explain to our Iranian fellows the way it makes sense for them. And yeah, if you have to go with long version of your story, I don't mind making a note. Your stage is yours now. If you unmute yourself, you could just start.
Okay. Good morning over here. Well, I'm in Washington State in the United States here. My name is Mick. I'm an alcoholic. I'm glad to be here.
Washington Islam. اسمم مایک هست و گلکولی هستم.
Okay, like I said, my name is Mick. I'm an alcoholic. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad everyone's here. It's a real honor for you guys to ask me to do this, and I appreciate it very much. There's nothing more important to me than reaching out and trying to help another alcoholic.
Yeah, من خوشحالم اینجام باعث افتخار منه این از تشکر میکنم هیچ چیز مهمتر از این نیست که من در خدمت یه الکلی دیگه باشم.
Okay, so you know, I'm going to tell my story and I want to tie it into working with others. And I want everybody to know that the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. And that, you know, it says on page 89 in the big book, practical experience shows that nothing will so much more, much intense immunity from drinking as intensive work with another alcoholic.
من میخوام داستان خودم رو امشب بگم و در قالب کارکرد با دیگران و طبق چیزی که دو سنت سوم میگه هیچ چیزی تنها لازمه عضویت ما تمایل به قطع مصرف الکل. صفحه 89 کتاب الکلی همونجوری که میگه مهمترین چیز و قوی ترین چیز برای قطع مصرف کارکرد با الکلی دیگه است و یا کارکرد با دیگران.
Okay, so I was born in East St. Louis, Missouri, and it must be some East thing going on because I was raised in East Oakland in California. And East St. Louis, Missouri, and East Oakland, California are probably two of the most dangerous places you could live in the United States. And that was my life. Yes.
من توی بخش ایستن من بخش شرقی آمریکا هستم توی بخشی که مربوط به شرق کالیفرنیا میشه و اون جایی که من هستم تقریبا خطرناکترین جای توی امریکا برای زندگی.
So my parents were alcoholics. My father went to work every day for 30 plus years, and he'd come home and he'd get drunk. And my mother was a brilliant woman. She had been valedictorian at her high school at 15 years old. She was extremely bright, you know, but she was an alcoholic also. In addition to them smoking about three or four packs of cigarettes a day while we were in the house. So there was a lot of fights. There was a lot of bad behavior. There was a lot of misinformation given when I was young. And there were seven children. Three were older than me, and there was a three-year gap. And then three were younger than me, and there was a three-and-a-half-year gap. So I didn't want to play with the younger kids, and the older ones didn't want to play with me. So I spent a lot of time by myself And to this day, there's nobody's company I love more than my own.
Good. So was I. I was between my siblings. I didn't feel right with any upper or lower. خدمت شما عرض کنم که والدین من یک الکلی بودن و پدر من کاملا آدمی بود که 30 چند سال هر روز میومد خونه و تا دینش الکل میخورد و مست میکرد و مادر من زن خیلی خیلی محترمی بود، خیلی زن فداکاری بود، متاسفانه ایشون هم الکلی بود و ضمناً که مادر من علاوه بر اون یه کار خفن دیگه میکرد، روزی 3-4 تا پاکت سیگار در حضور ما میکشید توی اون خونه در بسته. و به خاطر این شرایطی که گفتم دعوا بین پدر مادر من خیلی زیاد بود، اخلاقای بد و اطلاعات اشتباهی که من دادن، چیزی که منم باشون ابراز همسانی کردم، من بچه وسط بودم، 3 تا قبل از من، 3 تا بعد از من، هیچ وقت خوشحال نبودم با 3 تای بزرگتر از خودم ارتباط برقرار کنم، با 3 تای کوچیک‌تر از خودم هیچ ارتباطی نداشتم. در نتیجه من بچه وسط بودم و بیشتر خیلی زمانها رو برای خودم صرف کردم.
So, yeah, I had a group of friends that I would hang out with. And when I was 15 years old, we got someone to buy us a fifth of alcohol. And we went to a school there in my neighborhood and we drank the whole thing. And I got sick and I drank like that until the day I stopped. You know, I had been thinking recently that that was the kickstart of my behavior. I never wanted to look at my childhood as, you know, being an alcoholic from the beginning. But when you're 15 and you drink, I drank about half of the bottle and I got sick and I couldn't wait to do this again. And that started a run of 19 years of drinking and using other substances. Go ahead.
من یه با رفقای همسن سال خودم با که 15 سالم بود شرایطی پیدا کردیم، تونستیم که یه پکی از الکل رو بخریم و من موقعی که اون شب شروع کردم به خوردن اون روز تا روزی که قطع مصرف کردم من همیشه خوردم و خوردم و شما تصور کنید من از اون سن 15 سالگی نصف بطری رو میخوردم و بالا می آوردم و مریض می شدم و دنبال فرصت بودم که بطری کی میشه من دوباره این نصف بقیه رو بخورم. ولی خلاصه این که تو این 19 سال که موادم رو زیاد زدم این که اون استارت من بود.
We would have what was called house parties and you didn't know who was giving the party when you were growing up. You were in high school. You just hear that there was a party on 98th and D or on Malcolm, and you just show up at this house, and all the kids were drinking and having fun. And I recall the second time that I got sick, I don't know what I did, but I ended up drinking, it was a drink called Brass Monkey, and I had to drink a full bottle of it. I didn't have a car and I had to walk close to 3 miles home because I missed the bus. And I get home and my mother's sitting there and I go into the refrigerator. I drink a quart of milk and we didn't have a lot of money. So it was two boys to a bed, you know, just facing opposite. And I ended up getting sick again on my brother. And the next day, my mother told me what had happened. And it didn't stop a thing. You know, my life continued to go on for years of drinking before it shifted into, you know, we have problems, then we have problems that we can't resolve. And so that's what happened when I got into my 20s. Go ahead.
من تو دورانی که من نوجوان بودم خب اینجوری بودش که مثلا میگفتن بیاید مهمونی. میرفتیم مهمونی و فقط اصلا نمی‌دونستیم مهمونی چه خبره. مثلا میگفتن آدرس خیابون علوی پلاک 5 یا پلاک 6 ما می‌رفتیم فقط تو مهمونی، اصلا نمی‌دونستیم داستان چیه، فقط می‌دونستیم می‌شینیم اونجا الکل می‌نوشیم و می‌نوشیم و می‌نوشیم. یادمه که تو یکی از اون مهمونی‌ها من برای دومین بار اوزام خیلی خیلی خراب شد بعد از اولین بار، اونم این بود که من یهو 4 تا بطری از یک چیز مزخرفی رو خوردم و این 4 تا بطری رو خوردم به شدت. من میگفت ماشین نداشتم ولی بخاطر اینکه حالم خیلی بد بود من اتوبوسم از دست دادم، برای ده ها کیلومتر پیاده اومدم رسیدم به خونه. به محضی که رسیدم رفتم سر یخچال یه شیشه شیرم سر کشیدم و بلافاصله بالا آوردم روی برادرم و فردا صبحش مامانم بهم گفتش که دقیقا چه گندی زدی و چه کارایی کردی. ولی مشکلات غیر قابل حلی داشتیم که من بابتش هم خیلی هم الکل میخوردم که این مسئله بشه به دیگه احساسش کنم.
So as I grew up, I had these 5 friends, and we're still friends to this very day. And we would drink and smoke weed all day long, you know, and they were all musicians. And they went on to be, you know, extremely successful in the musician world or the producing world or whatever it is. And as they would start to wane off, I would never stop, you know, and, you know, as the drinking and other things started to escalate, you know, I ended up going to college and I got a job as a fireman. And, you know, we were 3 days on, 4 days off. And, you know, I'd always be late for work. And my captain would say, you know, you got 4 days to get here and you're late. And I would always blame it on traffic or something. But the bottom line was, is that I would be literally drunk or high for the whole 4 days that I was off. And if I was able to even get back to work, they were lucky. That's the way I considered it. And, you know, this thing escalated into the point where I like to say through a series of bad breaks and misunderstandings, we parted ways after several years. But in essence, I was fired. And that's what happened with my great career, you know, with my dream job. Go ahead.
Yeah. I had friends during that time, and they were still friends with me. We had a lot of friends with me. اونا دنبال کار موزیک بودن و میرفتن دنبال موزیک و جالبه که اونا وقتی که میخواستن میتونستن قطع مصرف کنن به زندگیشون برسن، ولی من اصلا نمیتونستم. این که الکل من خیلی خیلی زیاد شد ولی با اوصاف رفتم مدرسه، بالاخره یه مدرک تحصیلی گرفتم، رفتم شدم آتش نشان و به من گفتن آقا 3-4 در هفته بیشتر کار نداری به خاطر سختی کار، واسه 4 روز بعدیش بیا سر کار. شما صاحب من 4 روز در تعطیل بودم و همیشه سر اون 4 روز که می‌خواستم 3 روز برم سر کار همیشه خیلی دیر می‌رفتم و دلایل مختلفی داشت، ماشین نبوده، ترافیک بوده، من مسئله داشتم، ولی مسئله اصلی این بود که من همیشه مست بودم یا نشه بودم و واقعا اگه میتونستم سر کار حضور پیدا کنم مثل یه معجزه بود، ولی بنا خب بالاخره باید تیپو بیرون کردم اونجا.
So I lose this job and I had to go back and live with my mother. And something was different about her. I had no idea what it was. And she never said a word about my drinking and using. But I come to find out that my mother had stopped drinking years before that. And I didn't have a clue because I would be drunk or high most of the time. And she, there's two parts of this. She left me at her house to watch her house while she went to visit my sister. And I ran out of money. And so I figured if I sold just, you know, an end table or something, I'd have a little money for the weekend. And the sale went so good that I put another piece of furniture out. And within a 2-day period, I had sold all the living room furniture, the 2-bedroom furnitures, the dining table and chairs, and several other little things. And, you know, I left. She never said a word to me about that. She wrote me a note, and the note said, I don't know what your problem is, but whatever it is starting to affect other people's lives. The other part to that is that I ended up living in that same house towards the end of my drinking and using. And your miracles come in different ways. Those same four guys that I grew up with would always come by and try to get me to stop. And, you know, when you have friends like that who are trying to get save your life and you can't see it, it's a real painful thing. So I ended up homeless. Go ahead.
من خوش شغل از دست دادم برگشتم پیش مادرم شروع کردم زندگی کردن و خب من اجبار در مصرف داشتم به خاطر الکل و مواد نیاز به پول داشتم و من نمیدونم مامان من چجوری قرارت مس کرده بود چجوری بود اصلا نمیدونستم داستان چیه و به خاطر بیپولیم شروع کردم روز اول یه مبلی رو بردم فروختم از خونه یواش یواش مبل بعدی رو بردم در عرض چند هفته و چند روز من تقریبا اتاق پذیرایی و حالا هرچی وسایل خونه رو بوده جاوی کردم بودم فروختم و جالبه که مادر من هیچی نمیگفت و به واسطه همینم من فقط برای من یادمه که یه روز یه دونه یادداشتی برای من نوشت و نوشت که من نمیدونم مشکل تو چیه ولی هرچی که هست هر غلطی داری میکنی این مشکل تو زندگی دیگران تأثیر نذاره، تأثیر بد نذاره، برو برای خودت راه حلی پیدا کن. من اومدم بیرون رفتم پیش چهار تا دوستام که آتش نشان بودیم با هم دیگه رفیقان بودن، اون چهار تا منو مجاب کردن و از من خواستن که سر جد قطع مصرف کن، با این وضعیت تو داری به خودت آسیب میزنی، چون اونجا که احساساتی شدن به این مسئله که چقدر دردناکه که دوستای اینجوری داشته باشی که بخوان جونت نجات بدن ولی خودت نتونی به خودت کمک کنی. من دوباره بی خانمان شدم.
And so as I'm, I got nowhere to live, you know, I'm walking the streets of Oakland, I'm sleeping in the bus station, I've got no clothes except the ones on my back. I'm every once in a while, you know, I'd end up at some place where I didn't need to be, and I'd spend a couple of nights there, getting drunk and high. And somehow I had been introduced to, I knew where the meetings were, but I didn't know what they did. Because all that time that my mother was in the program, I never went to a meeting. I would drop her off at this place and pick her up an hour and a half later. I didn't even know where she was going. And what happened is that one day I was doing the same thing for several days, and I left this place to go get some more. And I looked back at that home and something came through my body and said, you don't have to do this anymore. And I don't know what it was. I never put a label on it. I really don't care. But I was struck sober and I walked to a meeting at a place called Mandana House. It was 6 o'clock on a Tuesday. I went in there, I raised my hand. I raised it for 30 days and I haven't had to raise it since. And that was April 10th, 1989. Go ahead.
من بخواب به خانمان شده بودم و خیلی جایی بدی میخوابیدم، توی سکو اتوبوس میخوابیدم، هیچ لباسی نداشتم غیر لباسی که تو کیسه دستم بود. جای خیلی مزخرفی رفتم که اصلا من نباید میرفتم اونجا. و هر روز بلند می شدم و از اونجا می زدم بیرون برم دنبال یه چیزی بگردم. فقط به صورت خیلی عجیبی من به AA معرفی شدم. این به این شکل که می دونستم AA هست ولی نمی دونستم چگونه و چطوری. معرفی شدم مالا توسط شخص منظورشون نبوده. ولی می دونستم که مادرم میره جلسه AA. من بعضی موقع می رسوندمش قدیما که باش بودم تو ماشین پیادش می کردم و از اونجا بر می گشتم و من دیگه چیزی رو نمی دیدم. یعنی من علاقه نداشتم برم داخل ببینم که مادرم چه میکنه اونجا. یه روزی تو همین از اون جای مزخرف که مادرم بیرون دنبال یه چیزی بگردم که مصرف کنم، یه چیزی توی سرم، وجودم، قلبم، خودم هم نمیدونم چیه، به من گفتش که تو دیگه مجبور نیستی واقعا با خودت این بلا رو سر خودت بیاری. و من نمیدونم چطوری و چگونه و اون نیرو و اون کلام چطوری بود. من اون روز انتخاب کردم توی 1989 سی او پنج سال قبل گذشته که ایشون تو پروگرام هستن منو هدایت کرد رفتم توی اون جلسه و از اون روز تا به امروز همچنان تو جلسه هم.
So I'm at this meeting and all I have is a pair of biker's pants, a shirt, and a pair of Rockport shoes with Velcro on them. That's all I had in my whole life. My world had gotten so small. I had no friends left. I had no family left. I had nothing. And the minute I walked in there, I felt immediately at home. There was no judgment. There was no get out of here. There was no looking at you crazy. It was just an unbelievable feeling. And I went back every day. And it was a guy there named Brent who didn't want to have anything to do with me. And Brent had everything that I used to have. And one day Brent said that he wanted to hang out with me, but he had to buy me some clothes because he couldn't be seen with me the way that I look. And so he went and bought me some clothes and we hung out. And then I ended up going to a meeting called the Rapid Noon. And it was a gentleman there named David S. And he said, there's nothing wrong with you. You're perfect just the way you are. You beat up on yourself enough while you were out there. You don't need to do that in here. And it got me. And I asked him, could I talk to him? He's a self-employed attorney. And I went to his office and I asked him to be my sponsor and he agreed, but he said he didn't care what I did, just don't drink and don't call him after 8 p.m. unless I got a drink in my hand because he goes to sleep real early. Go ahead.
Yeah. من تو زندگی چیز خاصی نداشتم. کل سرمایه زندگی من یه تیشرت بود و یک جفت دمپایل و انگشتی و یه مش چیزای خیلی خیلی مختصر که تو دستم بود و تنم بود و هیچ رفیقی نداشتم و زندگیم کاملا منهدم شده بود. یادمه که از اولین روزی که وارد جلسه شدم احساس کردم که اینجا خونه منه. احساس خونه بودن، این که کسی من رو قضاوت نمی کنه، کسی نمیگه که تو شعبت به ما نمی خورد، اینجا باید بری بیرون، یا چرا این چه ریخت قیافه‌ایه، یا چرا مست اومدی، یا چرا نشه اومدی. هیچ کس با من کاری نداشت و من همونجوری که هستم کاملا منتالیتی و احساسی من رو دریافت کردن. من نمیتونم توضیح بدم چه حس عجیب غریبی داشتم اون روز و باعث شد که من برگشتم و یه روزی دوستی به نام برنگ یا برک یه چیز اسم اون آقا بوده که به من گفتش که من اصلا نمیتونم تونم سر ریخت دنمت خرابه. برد بیرون برای من یه دست لباس خرید، گفت فقط اینا رو بپوش دیگه، از این سر ریخت دیگه نجات پیدا کن. و من به من لطف من کرد و یادمه که یه روزی رفتم توی جلسه ای به نام یه دوست به نام دیوید سی رو من ملاقات کردم و اون به من گفتش که آدم محترمی بود، نظر بیزینس و شرط اجتماعی آدم محترمی بود. من گفتش که چیز بیا آفیس من فردا، بیا اداره من. میگم رفتم اونجا دیدم خوب آدم خفنی با اون همه تشکیلات و اینا. یه نگاهی کرد به من گفت هیچ اشکالی نداری، تو همینی که هستی همینجوری خوب هستی و فقط مسئله تو اینه که یه خورده خودت بیشتر از حد اندازه خودت کتک زدی، یه خورده قر شدی اومدی اینجا و تنها کاری که میتونی بخوای بکنی فقط تو الکل مصرف نکن، جنس هم نزن، جلسه بیا. بعدش خواستم راهنمای من بشه، اون گفتش که باشه و اصلا اهمیت نداشت که من شغل دارم، قیافم چجوری، از کدوم خانواده‌ام یا چجوریم. فقط گفتش که خواهشن بعد از ساعت 8 شب به من زنگ نزن چون من میخوابم بعد از این، قبلش من اوکیم. Yeah.
And so, you know, I was new and I did what people asked me to do. And that was to show up every day. And seeing as how that I was unemployable and Dave was self-employed and Dave's sponsor was a guy named Earl Marsh who was retired. And he was a retired doctor. He had this doctor, lawyer, and a thief, myself, who just hung out. And, you know, I was able to get the program as a result of being there. I had nowhere else to go. And, you know, we started working the steps, and at about 6 months in, I was ready to do my fifth step. And, you know, Dave looked at the list, and I had about 100 names of people who had screwed over me. And Dave said, well, why don't we revisit this? And he gave me a little more time. And I went back to the book, and those names shifted from the column that people had screwed over me to the column that I had screwed over them. And we sat down, and we did my fifth step, and I cried like a baby. For the first time in my life, I had told somebody the whole truth. And, you know, I didn't get that that feeling that, you know, everything was fine. But what I got was somebody who was willing to listen to me and not judge me, who was willing to listen to all the bad things that I had done, and was able to tell me that you're okay. And Dave and I, we just hung out and hung out and hung out. And I had a group of people in the program that in the first few years that we did everything together. We'd go to dances. We'd go to, you know, conventions. They would have pajama party breakfasts, and they would have, you know, cruise ships, you know, sober cruise ships and retreats and all these things. I did everything I could. I read every piece of literature I could. And, you know, I started getting what you guys were doing, but what I hadn't stopped doing was some of the things that I used to do. And I came to realize that I wasn't practicing these principles in all my affairs. I had stopped drinking, but I was still doing a lot of the things that I was doing when I was drinking. Go ahead.
Yeah, خیلی جدید بودم و به واسطه مثلا هر چیزی که به من میگفتن من بدون اینکه فکر کنم انجام میدادم و خیلی هم بهش مجاب بودم به این کار. خدمت شما هستم که خب من شغل نداشتم. من شغلی نداشتم ولی راهنما خب یه آدم محترم بود، یک وکیل محترم بود، چقدر کارمندشون دوستی هم که ما با هم دیگه وسط ما بودیم. راهنمای من وکیل بود، اون دکتر بازنشسته بود، من یک دوز بودم. ما ستایی با سه تا استیت با هم میکس شده بودیم، رفیق شده بودیم، وقت با هم میگذروندیم و واقعا من جایی نداشتم برم. هر کاری رو که میگفتن انجام میدادم. 6 ماه طول کشید به قدم 5 برسم و من قدم 5 نوشتم 100 تا مورد نوشته بودم و اینا که این بزگلا من اذیت کردن، این کاری کردن، اون کاری کردن. بعد برگرفتم چه راهنما بخونم، گفت این کاغذ رو بگیر برو کتاب یه نگاهی بکن، یه خود فکر کن در مورد این کاری که داری میکنی، بعد دوباره لیستتو بیار. رفتم دیدم که خب خیلی هاشون من اذیتشون کردم، من خیلی اونا رو اذیت کردم. اون بخش خودم هم دیدم که منم روی زندگی مردم راه رفتم و برای اولین بار تو زندگی نشستم قدم 5 خوندم، مثل یک دونه بچه خیلی کوچولو نشستم گریه کردم برای مدت طولانی و یک نفر برای اولین بار تو زندگیم بدون اینکه من رو قضاوت کنه حرفای من رو شنید و به من اینو نشون داد که من همجوری که هستم اوکی هم. خب من هر کاری رو تو اون یه سال اول میکردم، شما از رقصیدن و توی کشتی مسافرت با سه مسافرت که دو بزن بچه برنامه و نمایش های مختلف و همایش های مختلف و هر چیزی که تو پروگرام به من، یعنی برنامه به من پیشنهاد میداد در دست رستید من گرفته بودم. ولی یک جای متوجه شدم که درسته من یه سال جنس نمیزنم، الکل هم نمیخورم، ولی من هنوز یه سری از کارهای گند قبلیم همچنان دارم انجام میدم. یه
So I continue to go to meetings. I've always went to 2 or 3 meetings a week. And I, for the first 25 years in this program, I went to a book study on Saturday mornings and then a step study on Sunday mornings, every Saturday and every Sunday. And, you know, as I started to to look at what you guys were doing. I'm about 7 years, 8 years in this program. I realized that I should be doing some of the things you guys are doing. And the biggest thing you guys were doing was helping others. Now, Brennan told me in the beginning to keep my recovery right in front of my face, make it the most important thing in my life, put everything behind it. Because once you lose that, you're going to lose all that other stuff anyway. And so I've always been able to do that. And so what I hadn't been able to do was give back the way that the people in the rooms were giving, the way that they so freely gave to me, the way that they changed my life without me even knowing that they were trying to do that. And so I started being available. I started putting my hand out. And, you know, there were periods in my recovery, or there have been periods in my recovery, it may happen again, where I only went to 7 meetings in a year. You know, I just kind of was sick of hearing what you guys had to say. But what I never did is I never let you guys leave me. I'd take you wherever I went. And no matter what happens, you know, throughout the day, even to this very day, I think about somebody in the program and what they've told me. Go ahead.
من هفته دو سه جلسه میرفتم، دو تا سه جلسه میرفتم. به مدت 25 سال روزای شنبه میرفتم جلسه کتابخونی و روزای یکشنبه میرفتم جلسه قدم. من اینو همیشه حفظش کردم. ولی یه چیزی بگم، 7-8 سال بودش تو برنامه بودم، یعنی تو 7-8 سال اخیر خیلی مسئله رو خیلی جدیتر بهش فکر دارم میکنم این 7-8 سال اخیر، که من این بعد یه کاره فراتر از صرفا کتاب و قدم و اینها انجام بدم، و اونم اینه که اون چیزی که گرفتم به رایگان به دیگرانم هدیهش بدم، کمک کردم به دیگران. کاری که شما الان توی این جلسه دارید میکنید و شما خیلی بهتر از منید توی این بخش، خیلی برای من شد اولویت و شروع کردم به برگردون من اون چیزی که من به مجانی دادم. ولی خب بعضی موقع هم بوده که دیگه حالم داشتم دیگه تگری میزدم از حرفایی که شما به جلسه میزنید، تکراری و تکراری و تکراری. یهو رفتم یه سال، توی یه سال 7 جلسه بیشتر نرفتم، شده یه سال هم اینجوری اوضاع خراب شده. ولی یه مسئله شده که تو همه اون سالا و هر جایی که هستم شماها رو با خودم بردم در زندگی، یعنی اون اطلاعات و تصویر ذهنی و هر چیزی که از شما دارم رو با خودم همه جا بردم، برای پیش رفت شما رو ترک نکردم.
So, you know, as I look at what I was doing, you know, I started sponsoring people, and I have, you know, people who come and go, but I've started sponsoring this one girl. I've been sponsoring her for, she is 30 years. I've been sponsoring her for about 29 years. I have another guy, you know, he's 22 years. Another person who's about 16. And then, you know, somebody who's 5. And then, you know, newer people. And what I share with them is that, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, you can do anything you want to do. Anything you want to do. What we don't do is we don't drink. And some people do that, and it's okay. But I need to be available for the person when they come in. I do not go to meetings, and I say this all the time, because I think I'm going to take a drink or a hit. I go to meetings because somebody was there when I got there, and somebody needs to be there when that person comes in the door. And that's why I go to meetings, and it brings a feeling to me inside that, you know, that I can actually give, as opposed to being who I used to be, which was a taker. My whole life, all I ever did was take. And there was always an angle, and there was always a scheme, and there was always a shortcut. And so what happened is that I don't know what you guys did to me or the people in the program, but somehow I ended up changing. And I ended up being a person who is willing to listen, a person who's willing to stay in my own lane, a person who's willing to look at myself and look at my motives of why I'm doing things, and a person who is willing to say, just for the moment, just for today, I don't have to take a drink. And if you choose that path, I will be there with you no matter what. I will always be there to support you. And there's nothing I can do to make somebody drink, and there's nothing I can do to make somebody stop drinking. All I can do is share my experience and my hope. And my whole life has been about, I hope this happens and I hope that happens. And I had an employer once when I was in the mortgage business who said, if you're living on hope, you're going to be broke. He said, it's not about living on hope. He said, you can give hope to people, but in the other areas of your life, it takes action. And the action I take when it comes to my program is, no matter what, this is the first thing in my life. My family is second and my work is third. You know, I'll talk about what it's like now. And I've been talking about the things I didn't see coming, you know, and, and there's currently four things that I didn't see coming. Go ahead.
من خب شروع کردم برای کار کرد با دیگران با اعضای دیگه از کلیه و پروگرام. شما ساب کنید من را من رهتو دارم از 29 سال 22 سال 16 سال 5 سال و بعض اونها هم جدیدتر دارم. من هر کاری که شما به عنوان الکلیه ما ها به عنوان الکلیه در حال بهبودی هر کاری رو میتونیم انجام بدیم، هر کاری به غیر از یک کار فقط نم الکل نخوریم. و تنها کاری که هم داریم میکنیم بکنیم به عنوان سابجکت موضوع جلسه که در مورد کار کرد به دیگران نیست، من میتونم بگم که فقط در دسترس بودنه. این که مردم میان به جلسات ما، با ما میریم به جلسه، فقط من میرم به جلسه نه فقط به خاطر اینکه میخوام یه چیزی دریافت کنم. همیشه باید یه نفر تو جلسه باشه که در اونجا رو باز کنه و اونجا باشه موقعی که یه نفر دیگه میاد تو جلسه و من سعی میکنم قسمتی از اون باشم. من همیشه زندگی مثل گیرنده بودم، هر چیزی که در راهم بود دریافت میکردم و دریافت میکردم. راه های میانبر، زیر رو کشیدن، کمکاری و هر کاری رو، همین کار رو بردم. حتی برنامه سالها فقط دریافت کننده بودم، ولی یه جایی نمیدونم که شما با من چه کردید، برنامهش کاری کرد، یه اتفاق افتاد، من تغییر کردم و شروع کردم به یادم دهنده بودن. سعی کردم که به دیگران اون چیزی که به من دادن رو هدیه کنم، سعی کنم که مهمتر از اون خودم توی لاین بهبودی باشم و توی خط مستقیم باشم، برای اینکه در دسترس بودن من در ضمانت سلامت خودم هست. و فقط اینو میتونم بگم که فقط برای امروز این که سعی میکنیم به بهترین شکل ممکن این کار انجام بدیم. من نمیتونم هیچ کس رو مجاب کنم که امروز قطع مصرف بکنه و نمیتونم هیچ کس رو مجاب بکنم که امروز الکل بخوره. فقط تنها کاری که میتونم بکنم این که در دسترس باشم. و من یه کارمندی دارم که حالا در مورد امید تو برنامه زیاد صحبت میشه، این که من یک کارمندی دارم که به من میگفت آره ما چیزه در امید زندگی کردن، در امید زندگی کردن این حرفش که من عزیزم کسایی که فقط با امید زندگی میکنن محکوم به شکستن. ما نمیتونیم فقط با امید زندگی کنیم، یه بخشش امیده و یه بخشش هم عمله. ما باید یه سری اعمالی رو انجام بدیم تا به اون سرمنزل مقصود برسیم. ولی مهمترین چیزی که امروز تو زندگی شخصی من هست که الان میخوام میخورده میشه در مورد زندگی امروز هم صحبت کنم، این که انجمن الکلی های گمنام در تاپ همه اولویت های زندگی منه، بعد خانوادمه و در درجه سوم کار.
Thank you. So, you know, I've been around the program for, or in the program, whatever you want to call it, for, you know, 32 plus years. And it appears that I've done everything I could to stay here and everything I could not to stay here. And this is where I fall every time. So, you know, what it's like now is about 3.5 years ago, I had a heart attack. And I was living with my brother, who has 10 more days than me, which really makes me mad because he calls me a newcomer all the time. And he, you know, he came home. We had this house together. He came home and I was lying there on the floor and saying I didn't feel well. And he took me to the doctor. And within 30 minutes, they had put 3 stents in my chest. And I had no idea you know, that I was as sick as I was. And had Blake not come home that day, I may not be here today. You know, and I didn't see it. I thought I was healthy. That was in April of 2018. In June of 2018, I'm 66 years old today. And in June of 2018, I had a son. So I have a 3.5-year-old son, you know, and I didn't see that coming either. But I have never been happier my whole life. This boy has brought so much joy and excitement to my life that it's a feeling that a lot of people who have children already know, but I had never had.
Amazing.
The other thing is that Michael ended up dropping his sippy cup in a coffee house, and the lady behind me pointed out to me, and we started chit-chatting, and, you know, we ended up, you know, dating and living together, and we just bought a house a month ago in Bremerton, Washington. And, you know, when you look at this, I didn't see this. There's this guy who's a drunk and a junkie who has this beautiful home and this beautiful family and 10 acres, who's from East Oakland. And I've never seen that happen before. And so my life is beautiful. And the last thing I'll say on the didn't see it coming was this pandemic. And I don't think anybody saw it coming, but it has changed my life. Go ahead and then I'll wrap it up.
Where was that place you met your other better half?
At Pete's Coffee in Piedmont, California.
Right, just ordinary cafe.
Just ordinary cafe, yeah.
It's a miracle. And من 32 سال و اندی هستش که هوشیارم و چه برنامه هستم. اسمش که هر چی هست دارم برنامه رو کار میکنم یا داخل برنامه هستم. و اینی که توی خب اتفاقات زیادی افتاده، ولی یه چیز خیلی عجیب غریب که من هر کار رو میکنم که اینجا بمونم و بعضی موقع هر کاری میکنم که اینجا نمونم، و اینم قسمت آسیب زننده من این بخش دوم. ولی زندگی امروز من 3.5 سال پیش یک سکته قلبی شدید کردم. من یه داداشی دارم که 10 روز از من هوشیارش بیشتره و حال من خراب میکنه. هر وقت من میبینه میگه تو تازه واردی، بابت اون 10 روزی که زودتر از من اومده توی برنامه. و پیش رفته من با اون زندگی میکردم که من دچار سکته قلبی شدم. من رو رسوندن بیمارستان، 3 دقیقه بعد از ورود من 3 تا شلنگ و 3 تا دستگاه به سینه من وصل کردم. و اصلا من نمیدونستم که اینقدر مریضم. و من امروز میتونم بگم اگه اون خونه نمیرفتم و داداشم اون روز خونه نبود و باش نبودم، من حتما از دنیا میرفتم. این برای اردیبهشت مثلا 3.5 سال پیش بوده، اپریل 2018. 6-7 ماه بعدش من، شما به تصور کنید من 66 سالمه، من پدر شدم. همسر من یه بچه به دنیا آورد و الان بچه من 3.5 سالشه و هیچ وقت زندگی من اولادی نداشتم، ولی این بچه به زندگی من خیلی نور و خوشحالی و شادمانی آورده. البته من بهش گفتم که دمشکم که تو 66 سالگی بچه دار شده. این که بعدش سوال کردم کجا ملاقات کردم، چی توضیح دادن که و توی این پروسه ایشون میگن تصور کنید من یه آدم مست لایعقل همیشه نشه بودم، همیشه مثل بادکودک نشه بودم تو آسمونا، ولی یه روز رفتم توی کافی شاپ خیلی خیلی معمولی قهوهی بخورم که موقعی که نشستم یه خانمی نشسته بود کنار من و ما شروع کردیم با هم صحبت کردن و اون صحبت منجر شد یه قرار ملاقات دیگه بذاریم و بعد با هم دیگه به تفاهم رسیدیم. الان 1 ماه پیش با هم دیگه توی واشنگتن دی سی، توی واشنگتن توی بخش خیلی درست حسابیش یک خونه عظیم و جسه با هم دیگه خریدیم با یه بچه 3 سالمه. الان داریم با هم زندگی میکنیم و زندگی من اعجاب انگیزه و میخوام در مورد همه اینا در نظر بگیرید و حالا که کرونا رسید به زندگی به شکل دیگه تغییر کنه.
So that's what happened as a result of this pandemic. You know, I'd been going along in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, doing what I had been told to do, sharing my experience, sharing my hope, and just showing up. And then Zoom happens. And there are five cats on this screen who I go to a meeting with every day. And what I love about this is they don't have to be here. You know, they all have lives, extremely busy lives. And, you know, a year and a half, close to 2 years ago, you know, I started doing meetings on Zoom. And I started listening to guys, you know, like Jimmy and Mark and Jimmy and Todd and Rich and other people all across the country. And my life started to change. I became a much better person. And, you know, every day when I wake up, I am so excited about my life, you know, and the people that I've met. You know, I've met some of these people in person. You know, they've come out from Florida to see me. I went down to Los Angeles to see them. You know, this is an unbelievable thing we have here. It is a community that all we need to do is be available, you know, and I'm a much better person, you know, and I wasn't like this 2 years ago. You know, I, for whatever reason, I just feel I'm more available, not only to my family, but to my fellow man. And, you know, in closing this thing down, I'm going to, you know, stick with the working with others. And here's what happened. Here's why we're here. There's a pamphlet called A Member's Eye View of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's a great pamphlet. And it says on page 10, long before there was a definition of Alcoholics Anonymous, before there was a book or traditions or a program of recovery, there was a night in Akron, Ohio, a night when a man named Bill W., alone in a strange city, shaken and frightened, concluded that his only hope of maintaining his hard-won sobriety was to talk to and try to help another alcoholic. So far as I know, that is the first recording instance of one alcoholic consciously and deliberately turning to another alcoholic not to drink, but to stay sober. And that's what we do here. That's what we do on a daily basis. We show up, we put our hand out, we give people our numbers, we're available in the middle of the night, on holidays, when our family is there. Anytime somebody needs us, there's somebody on this screen who will always be available for that person who's just walking in the door. And like I said, I don't come here to stay sober. I come here because somebody was here when I got here, and I want to be here when that person comes in the door. So thank you guys for listening to me. You know, I'm not a believer. I'm not a religious person. I'm not any of that. But what I am is a person who loves humans, and I love Alcoholics Anonymous to the bottom of my heart. So you guys have a great day. Thank you.
Nor I. این که به کرونا باعث تغییرات بزرگی در زندگی من شد. این که خب من قبل از یه کرونا بیام میره جلسه میرفتم، خودم رو تقسیم میکردم در مورد امید، تصمیم هم و هر چیزی که بود، و کرونا اتفاق افتاد و جلسه و زوم به وجود اومد و من دو سال پیش شروع کردم به زوم رفتن و من هر روز توی دو سال گذشته جلسه به زوم رفتم و شروع کردم گوش دادم به دوستمون جیمی، تاد و دوستاشون که امروز اومدن و به اینا خیلی گوش کردم و زندگی من به واسطه همین گوش کردم به الکلی‌ها که در سرتاسر کشور امریکا هستن، زندگی من شروع کرد تغییر کردن و زندگی من نقش من یه آدم بهتری شدم بعد از اکتشاف جلسات زوم. من آدم بهتری شدم من هر روز با هیجان بلند میشم و به جلسات میپیوندم به واسطه همین که توی همین صفحه اسکرین با آدم هایی که اینجا هستن آشنا شدم، با آدم های دیگه، آدم هایی بودن از فلوریدا اومدن من رو دیدن، من رفتم لس آنجلس اونها رو دیدم. خیلی خیلی چیز قابل تعریف و هیجان انگیزی و قابل تعریف نیست این آشناییاتی که ما پیدا کردیم. فقط میتونم بگم که مهمترین چیزی که جلسه زوم الان هست در قالب کار کرده قشنگ این قدم این که برای تک تک این آیکون ها و اسمایی که اینجا هستن یک نفر اینجا حضور داشته باشه. برای اینکه موقعی که من گفتم موقعی که رفتم جلسه میرم، نمیرم که هوشیار بمونم، میرم اونجا چون یه روزی که من رفته بودم اونجا یه نفر اونجا بود که برای من باشه. من هم اینجا میام یا میرم که باشم برای یه نفر دیگه. یه چیزی رو میخوام بگم این که یه پمفلتی هستش در مورد کمک کردن به دیگران تو صفحه دهش میگه قبل از این کتاب الکلی های گمنام و ای و سنت ها و اصلا اینا برسه، یه شخصی به نام بیل دبلیو داشت توی سرما از خماری و مصیبت داشت میلرزید توی شرایط زندگی خودش و هیچ راه حلی نداشت. اون روز که به یه روشی آگاهانه و بر اساس انتخاب بره به یه الکلی دیگه رو پیدا کنه و بهش کمک کنه و اونجا استارت و اونجا شد برای اولین تجربه الکلی گمنام و از اون روز به بعد الکلی گمنام بزرگ. همون کاری که الان من و شما داریم میکنیم، این که بودن یه نفر، تلفن دادن و در حضور پیدا کردن و اینکه بتونیم به یه نفری کمک کنیم. بعضی موقع تماسایی میشه وسط مسئله خانوادگی، مسئله گرفتاری، ولی اصلا مهم نیست، ما هستیم برای همدیگه که کمک کنیم. Yeah, I really appreciate behalf to go and و گفتن که بنده من آدم خداباوری نیستم، من خیلی نه آدم مذهبی هستم نه آدم خداباوری هستم که ولی عاشق انسان ها، عاشق شرافت و انسانیت هم و عاشق ای هستم و خیلی تشکر کرد که فرصت به وجود اومد. I really appreciate behalf the group of your share and your time. You can unmute yourself, you can stay with us and with your English friends, they are all here. I'm sure the Farsi language is going to sound great for you guys and you can you can stay with us or you can unmute yourself or close your camera, just up to you. And if any English speaker wants to speak, they are in priority. I can translate to our friend. If not, we could go to you with the Iranian friends. Thank you, Mark. All English speaker, they are in priority. I can translate to our friend. And من بهشون گفتم که تشکر کردم از اینکه وقت و انرژیشون رو گذاشتن، گفتم میتونن بمونن، میتونن برن و اگر دوستان انگلیسی زبانی هستن که 5-6 نفر از دوستاشون اومدن خواستن صحبت کنن در اولویت ما هستن چون مهمان ما هستن، من میتونم ترجمه کنم دیگه. up to them. جلسه در اختیار شماست.
برای انجام من تشکر میکنم.